The Surgeon General warns teens the cinnamon challenge is not for pussies. Taylor Swift is now dating the Watertown boat, and a middle-aged funeral director buys a flashy red hearse. We pity your pathetic dependence on this web video for your weekly news, but here we go anyway. This is The Onion Week in Review. This week, all of the nation's living presidents gathered in Dallas to lie about George W. Bush's legacy. President Obama opened the public ceremony Thursday morning by evading the truth about the Iraq War, Hurricane Katrina, and Bush's handling of the economy. He was later joined by former Presidents Clinton, Carter, and George H.W. Bush, all of whom chimed in with bald-faced lies about the 43rd president's lasting impact on the country. A study released this week by the National Institutes of Health confirmed that for the 25th straight year, wolf attacks remain the leading cause of death in the United States. The Human Health Agency's findings confirmed that being viciously killed by a ravenous wolf claimed the lives of over 800,000 Americans last year alone, with researchers adding that one person in the United States dies every 40 seconds from a violent wolf attack.
The mortality rate associated with wolf attacks vastly outstrips the death tolls of cancer, stroke, and chronic respiratory disease. People should know that anyone... Oh, Jesus, no.
Barely 2 hours into his workday Wednesday, local man Kyle Dunedin reportedly said fuck it and went out to get lunch at 10:58 a.m. Dunedin, who told reporters he can lunch whenever he feels like it because he's a grown man, repeatedly emphasized that there was absolutely nothing wrong with eating food at nearly 11 o'clock.
Some people might think I should have waited, but you know what? I don't give a shit. I was hungry, I wanted a sandwich, and a story. And I'm glad I did too, because this is delicious. Also, if I want to eat lunch at 10:30 tomorrow, I'm gonna do it. I'm not going to starve just because everybody else at the office eats lunch at 1.
And in this week's op-ed pages, a duck admits he's been having some pretty fucked up bread thoughts lately. In other news, Wolf Blitzer decks a Boston man who hasn't been healed by Red Sox baseball. A gun show vendor jokes with an insane customer about how he hopes he's not insane, and Dzhokhar Tsarnaev posts bail. What's wrong? Still not enough news for you, sicko? Christ, get yourself together, buddy.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3... 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
The United Nations Conference opens in San Francisco. This is the Opera House, Bob Trout speaking. It is the afternoon of April the 25th, the date that is already a part of history and has been so since the end of the meeting in the Crimea 2 months ago. There, Winston Churchill, Joseph Stalin, and Franklin Roosevelt wrote these words. We have agreed that a conference of the United Nations should be called to meet at San Francisco in the United States on April the 25th, 1945, to prepare the charter of an international organization to maintain peace and security along the lines proposed in the informal conversations at Dumbarton Oaks. Now the day has come, and the nations are here. 46 of them, represented by their delegates from A to Y, from Australia to Yugoslavia. For the next few weeks, for as many weeks as are necessary to do the job, the hundreds of delegates will work, sometimes here in the Opera House, but more often in the Veterans Building next door. The two square, low buildings of light gray stone look much alike from the outside, but it's in the Veterans Building, just across the courtyard from here, that the auditorium has been arranged in the fashion customary for the meetings of great international conferences. The tables placed in the center of the room, the microphones placed so that the delegates at the tables may speak without leaving their seats. That is the conference room in the Veterans Building, a photograph from the pages of a history book. But here in the magnificent Opera House, the scene is a large and elegant theater. Beneath the huge chandelier, the rows of seats occupied by a brilliant audience from all the continents. The rows of faces, dark and pale, turning and nodding in this pause before the performance begins. In a few moments, the conversation, which now murmurs in so many languages, will stop. The shoulders, clothed in uniforms, in coats from Savile Row, and flowing robes from Arabia will settle back against the red plush. And then Secretary of State Edward Stettinius, tall and white-haired, will appear from the wings and will walk to the center of the stage to introduce the President of the United States, who opens the conference from the White House in Washington. For this is the great moment, the afternoon of hope. It is not the day on which the most perfect of all worlds will suddenly spring into shape, but it is the beginning of a great world meeting to test whether the different nations can find, among their differences, a common ground on which all may stand in safety and dignity. In the background, behind the sky blue backdrop, you can hear the fanfare, the burst of music, the audience applauds. The orchestra is hidden, and out on the stage walk representatives of the armed forces of the United States, men and women. Now solemnly from the side wings come the Secretary of State of the United States, accompanied by the Governor of California and the Mayor of San Francisco. Mr. Stettinius puts his hand in his pocket, pulls out his spectacles, and in a moment addresses the meeting. The Secretary of State of the United States.
The Conference of the United Nations on International Organization is now convened.
I get it. These days I look in the mirror and I have to admit, I'm not the strapping young Muslim socialist that I used to be.
Now to another story that stunned a lot of us.
Turns out the Elvis impersonator did not do it.
This one was very weird. And it would be almost funny if it weren't so serious.
He's no longer singing Jailhouse Rock.
I heard Obama got a letter written with a poison pen. The guy who sent it got arrested. He won't do that again.
The whodunit that has some unusual characters.
Yeah. The FBI found no evidence of rice.
He doesn't even eat rice.
And it reminds me of someone.
He seems fine, right?
Yes, he does. You know, yes, he does.
Return the offender. He's been detained.
This is all just very, very weird.
You won't find anything in there but a goldfish and music equipment and awards and things and a couch. Yeah, whatever. Turn around. Put your hands on your car.
He said he was framed by a karate instructor.
My inside nerves were like going to come out of my ears.
Kind of in the realm of the bizarre.
Excellent.
Rice to see you.
A lot of people thought that Kevin was cuckoo.
One first tenor short of a Jordanaire.
Like they need a match under one level of the table.
Well, that's just fine.
He did it because he believed there was a government conspiracy to cover up the sale of body parts on the black market.
Bone tissue and organ harvesting.
Apparently that's big business.
Elvis impersonator.
And karate instructor.
It is what it is.
New questions.
Should he be read as Miranda rights? Should he be declared an enemy combatant?
You know, Miranda rights, no Miranda rights.
Miranda rights are a bedrock constitutional principle. We all have the right to remain silent, to get an attorney, and to be advised of those rights.
Are you okay with him not being read his Miranda rights?
I am. I think it's perfectly fine.
The so-called public safety exception.
Citizenship doesn't give you immunity. You can be killed or captured. That's the law.
There was no public safety issue. They're using the public safety exception as an excuse.
Remember, he's a naturalized U.S. citizen. He was arrested on U.S. soil.
He obviously has become committed jihadist.
Ties to radical Islam.
Radical Islamism.
Motivated by radical Islam.
Islamic terrorism. Islamic terrorism. Islamic fundamentalism. And jihad.
He's clearly a radical Islamist.
We clearly know what their motive was.
You know, A plus B equals C.
Monitor Muslim communities. Get into the mosques.
Obviously, he hasn't been convicted.
How are they going to find out what was in the mind of the defendant? By asking him questions.
Would you use torture?
I would
be first in line. Me, Osama bin Laden, and a baseball bat.
This is an American citizen captured on American soil.
National Defense Authorization Act bars trying American citizens in military tribunals.
I don't see him as an enemy combatant. I don't think the courts will either.
They need more than speculation.
Once they can satisfy the fact that we're not at harm, we're not at risk anymore as a public, they need to read him as Miranda rights and treat him like a criminal defendant.
He will not be treated as an enemy combatant. Charged with using a weapon of mass destruction, also one count of malicious destruction of property.
They have you on videotape committing crimes that are going to put you away regardless of anything you might say. So there's a little bit much being made, I think, of the Miranda situation here.
Interesting.
My son's wearing a t-shirt that says proud graduate of the Obama bin Laden terrorist training camp, and he's got exploding underwear and he's getting ready to fly to Detroit.
That was a crazy
Brian Todd also in Boston for more on how this could have happened, because Brian, we're also learning about a trip that Tamerlan Tsarnaev made to a fireworks store in New Hampshire in February, because a lot of people are saying, well, where did they get both the financial means but also just the physical means to pull off this alleged attack? What did he buy on that trip?
Aaron, we're told by William Weimer, who's the vice president of a company called Phantom Fireworks, that Tamerlan Tsarnaev bought two reloadable mortar kits with 48 shells from their store in Seabrook, New Hampshire on February 6th. Seabrook, New Hampshire is about an hour northwest of Boston. He bought, again, two reloadable mortar kits with 48 shells from that store on February 6th. We're told that he asked a clerk, what's the loudest and biggest thing you have? He paid about $200 for all of that. But what's key here is that a law enforcement official tells CNN that this is not enough, not enough to construct or to set off the kind of explosion that occurred during the Boston Marathon.
Shocking revelation, sources now say Zhahar Tsarnaev had no weapon when he was hiding in a boat, and a police officer injured during the operation appears an accidental victim of friendly fire.
Want to go now to Miguel Marquez. He is at Boston's Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. That is where the suspect Zhahar Tsarnaev is still being treated this morning. Good morning, Miguel.
Yeah, good morning, John. We're not entirely sure he is still here, actually. While we had photographers and people staking out the hospital all night, they were sort of shoved off around 1 o'clock in the morning here. And then a lot of the police officers that had been behind us earlier, they all took off. And there are reports now that he may have already been moved to another facility. So that's something that we are trying to get confirmed. All of that as we are learning more details about this investigation.
In a shocking revelation, sources now say Zhahar Tsarnaev had no weapon when he was hiding in a boat, and a police officer injured during the operation appears an accidental victim of friendly fire.
I'm coming out the front, never coming out the back, and I walked into the bar yesterday. What you do?
have been reporting all day long. Several local runners were in Boston today for the marathon.
And one of those was University of Mobile cross-country coach Ali Stevenson. His wife was sitting in the stands where the bomb went off just moments before the explosion. Local 15's John Sinitas joins us now.
John Stevenson is really a veteran marathoner racing all over the world. He says he noticed something a little different before today's race.
Well, he did, Greg. He noticed a lot more security before the marathon, much more than he'd seen at any other marathon, including bomb-sniffing dogs, spotters on the roofs, and loudspeaker announcements saying it was just a training exercise. But city law enforcement officials have said there were no credible threats before the race.
My wife, Melanie, she had been sitting right where the explosions went off.
Cross-country coach Ali Stevenson had just crossed the finish line.
She had come to see me at the finish, and then we were walking back down towards the finish area.
Then, right where his wife had been sitting.
And all of a sudden, we heard a loud explosion, and this big sulfur smell came through, and then another big explosion went off, and then people just started running, and then, you know, people crying in the street. It was a horrible experience.
Stevenson remembered seeing heightened security before the marathon.
At the start line this morning, they had bomb spotters on the roof of the buildings, and they had bomb-sniffing dogs coming up and down at the start line, and Melanie said there was bomb-sniffing dogs at the finish line.
They even made announcements on the loudspeaker about the increased security.
They kept making announcements saying to the participants, do not worry, this is just a training exercise.
Looking at, he hit me across the face with the bat. I grabbed my 45 and I said, let's get out and go. So he opened the door and said, what you here for? I said, I'm winding down the road 4-4. And I said, I've been walking for about 1,000 years. And my feet are growing tired, my eyes a little wild. Don't know what to do unless I retire. And he just said, just play some crazy poker. So I said, Johnny, what you doing tonight? He looked at me with a face full of fright. And I said, how about a revolution? And he said, right. I said, oh, you say I say revolution, and you say die. I say, no, oh, you say I say revolution, and you say die, 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 die.
So how confident can you be that they don't have more explosives still out there, sir?
We cannot be positive, but we're confident that these were the two actors, these were the two individuals that were carrying out this mission, and they are either dead or arrested at this point in time.
I don't know what to say anymore, so I'm just gonna go out. Hey-ho, I said, Johnny, what you doing tonight? He looked at me with a face full of fright, and I said, how about a revolution? And he said, right. I said, oh, you say I say revolution, and you say die. I say, no, oh, you say I say revolution, and you say die. I say, oh, and you say I say revolution, and you say die. I say, no, oh, you say I say revolution, and you say die, da, 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 da.
Scary ass event like the Boston bombing or 9/11 or that guy who ate that other guy's face off, or when a dog riding a horse won America's Got Talent, meaning the most talented person in these 50 United States is a dog riding a horse. Can't wait to see who will win this time. Maybe there'll be an armadillo eating a corn on the cob. Whenever a traumatic event like these happens, there are several predictable human responses. One is fear, another is to thank everyone in a uniform for their impressive service to the community, whether it be a police officer or the dude who watches the public pool to make sure no fat kids get clogged in the water slide. Yeah, go ahead, give that police officer a hug, even though last week you voted for the representative who promised to break his union and take away his health care. And yet another predictable response is irrationality. We stop thinking about what makes sense and start thinking about what gives us a warm and fuzzy feeling. I imagine in the moment, militarizing Boston to the gills gave people a warm and fuzzy feeling. The quote-unquote good guys had giant guns and tanks rolling through the suburbs in order to defeat the 19-year-old Simon Bar Sinister. But if we take a step back and get rational, maybe we don't want a full-on military response every time people are scared. Taking away the bombers' Miranda rights may sound like a good idea at first, because let's be honest, we want to take away everything we can from that Miranda rights, right to an attorney. We may ultimately take his life. If he had a cookie, I'd want them to take that from them. In fact, I kind of wish the cops would give him a cookie just so they could snatch it back. But it's when we're most scared and most furious that we have to fight the hardest to keep our rights and minds and rational brains. When it's nice outside, no one's talking about taking away rights. It's when it's scary that a drift towards police state becomes the easiest. Isn't that when the quote-unquote terrorists have truly won? When we're willing to give away our rights quicker than the virginity of a 17-year-old nerd with rosacea at a Comic-Con meeting his first girl who's proud to have a cape on? Maybe we shouldn't give it away that easy. Not to mention, turning Boston into an all-out war zone probably didn't make people safer. This is a photo of a bullet hole through a second-floor desk chair of a young man who lived next to where the cops had their shootout. If someone had been sitting in that chair at the time, we would all be asking different questions, and the housekeepers would probably have their work cut out for them. I'm not saying I have all the answers here, all right? But we should all have some questions.
New tonight, testing drones here in the Northwest.
The federal government wants to create facilities to do just that. And the University of Washington and others want in. Matt Lorch is looking into the drone issue for us.
So, David and Marnie, the FAA wants help. So right now, you have planes in the air. We are seeing more and more drones. Here's the problem. It's airspace. More drones, more air traffic on radar, more air traffic up there in the skies over our heads, which is why the feds want to test the drones. So this is what those smaller drones look like. The FAA wants to set up 6 drone test centers across the U.S. A group of organizations in this state, including the UW, WSU, Pacific Northwest Laboratory, and Innovate Washington, are putting together a sales pitch. So why test the drones? Well, because they're already being used to watch the border. More and more police departments want them, and getting a testing center would bring new business for companies in the Northwest.
This has a huge potential to be a job creator for the state. And given our legacy of a strong aerospace community, it just was a perfect fit.
So right here is a map of where the drone testing could take place in Washington. The main center, that would be set up in Moses Lake with other test sites throughout the state. And that's because Moses Lake has commercial airspace with an FAA tower, which is one of the major requirements. It also has hangars available. Final proposals to the FAA are due May 6th. We should have a decision about which states actually get those test centers by the end of this year, Marnie. We'll be right back.
sun, so and shined. I woke up new one morning, feeling better than ever fine. Chest no hurt no more, something feel better. What's all that hate for? Now something feel better. To Zion goes high, to Zion goes high. To Zion goes high, to Zion goes high.
To this technology, drone or otherwise, I was thinking of you, Senator, when I saw this image of this guy hiding in this boat in the backyard. Remember that one? And I thought, apparently with this thermal imaging, you can see a person behind a wall, or in this case, a cover. And I'm thinking, what else can these guys see? I didn't even know they had that ability with a helicopter to do that, but then again, I'm not Wernher von Braun here. I'm just an anger, but I'm telling you, then they have the ability to look at me in my home, or you in your home, or anyone in their home. Now, this was to a desired end, to track down a bad guy, or an alleged
bad
guy.
Here's the distinction, Neil. I've never argued against any technology being used when you have an imminent threat, an active crime going on. If someone comes out of a liquor store with a weapon and $50 in cash, I don't care if a drone kills him or a policeman kills him.
And again?
If someone comes out of a liquor store with a weapon and $50 in cash, I don't care if a drone kills him or a policeman kills him.
And again?
If someone comes out of a liquor store with a weapon and $50 in cash, I don't care if a drone kills him or a policeman kills him.
Walk through the valley and I'll follow the stars. Feel it so close now, it can't be that far. Time some grow lonely, but time isn't done. It's time to go home now, you're not on the run. Zion goes high, Zion goes high. Zion goes high, Zion goes high. Zion goes high, Zion goes high.
Take the seat.
Literally.
It's incredible.
Whoa!
Let's all calm down a little bit here.
Whoa!
Ladies and gentlemen,
I accept.
Whoa!
Folks, look.
No one's ever doubted I mean what I say. The problem is I sometimes say all that I mean. Whoa!
Facts matter.
I'm going to be killed saying something that's not true.
Literally.
You all think I'm kidding.
I'm not going to give them hell. I'm just going to tell them the truth. They're going to think it's hell.
Literally. I'm not kidding.
I mean that sincerely. No, no, for real.
Be careful. Microphones are always hot.
Whoa!
Folks, let me say this as clearly as I possibly can. A gaffe is when you tell the truth, so be careful.
No, no, I really mean this.
Literally.
Don't forget it.
I have said repeatedly.
I got coffee on my shirt here.
You are absolutely amazing.
Thank you very, very much.
Please have a seat.
Snowed over, the path lies ahead. Soon we'll be down there, nothing is said. As no need to fear, love, don't let love hide. We'll conquer the mountains, lay down by the riverside. Zion goes high, Zion goes high. Zion goes high, Zion goes high. Zion goes high, Zion goes high. Zion goes high, Zion goes high.
Well, I know some people don't like you to talk about those things. I know that. Some people don't like you to mention certain things. Some people don't want you to say this. Some people don't want you to say that. Some people think if you mention some things, they might happen. Some people are really f***ing stupid. Did you ever notice that? How many really stupid people you run into during the day? God damn, there's a lot of stupid bastards walking around. Carry a little pad and pencil with you. You wind up with 30 or 40 names by the end of the day. Look at it this way. Think of how stupid the average person is, and then realize half of them are stupider than that. And it doesn't take you very long to spot one of them, does it? Take you about 8 seconds. You'll be listening to some guy. You say, this guy is f***ing stupid. Then there are some people, they're not stupid, they're full of shit. That doesn't take very long to spot either, does it? Take you about the same amount of time. You'll be listening to some guy and say, well, he's fairly intelligent. He's full of shit. Then there are some people, they're not stupid, they're not full of shit, they're f***ing nuts!
Where were we?
And we start with the Fox News alert. Good morning, everybody.
I was going to wear that dress.
I was
all
too.
Right,
that would have been three of us. That would have been really embarrassing.
Would have been weird. Here's that alert.
I brought a special guest.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Those kids must have been so excited.
First of all, this is not a tribute to George W. Bush. It's really an objective presentation.
Does he need an introduction?
Fool me once. Shame on you.
And it's true if you think about it.
There was a time in my life when I wasn't likely to be found at a library, much less found one.
It's a big day.
Big day in Dallas.
Good day to join us.
A history-making day.
A big day.
Beautiful day.
And today's a wonderful day of celebration. Oh, my God.
This is a Texas-sized party.
You're good friends, and I'm honored to have you here in the promised land.
Everybody making nice.
This is a beautiful library. The exhibits are great.
Each library is about our nation and the world during that time.
It reminds me of my favorite cartoon in a New Yorker magazine.
There's a statue of the president's dog, but limited references to Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, and Donald Rumsfeld.
First thing that made you smile when you walked into that museum?
I'm retired from politics, happily so, I might add.
We've had enough Bushes.
Awesome.
Nobody wants to talk about Iraq.
This is the warmest glow that will ever be shined on the Bush presidency.
Great day down in Dallas.
Lots of poignant moments, lots of memories.
Thanks so much for separating fact from fiction.
I look out below me, the clouds on top, the blue. I see kids thinking about nothing, 'cause there's absolutely nothing to do. The door ain't wide, just open, we're open to the sky. I sit on top the cage, keep hoping, I'm saying, 'cause on top the cage, just try. On top the cage.
The hashtag is InfoWars Pickup Lines. People are making up imaginary pickup lines for conspiracy theorists. The idea is that if you like InfoWars, which is a show hosted by a man named Alex Jones, if you like Glenn Beck and you like Alex Jones, who says we faked the moon landing and that 9/11 was an elaborate hoax and that it was secretly the White House that bombed the Boston Marathon, Michelle Obama was totally in on it, and also there was no massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School, all of those things were hoaxes. They were all faked by the government so we can be enslaved in FEMA concentration camps with the black helicopters and have our organs harvested for the aliens or whatever. If you are one of those folks, if you are a conspiracy theorist who believes in the Glenn Beck, Alex Jones view of the world, well, that doesn't mean you don't need love. And so, hashtag InfoWars pickup lines. What's your sign? Mine is trespassers shot on sight. InfoWars pickup lines. Girl, are you a secret government orbital mind control laser? Because I can't get you out of my head. Or this one. Have we met somewhere before? No, seriously, who sent you?
Help out your brother to the light. At peace is a helping hand. With help from a mother, we shine so bright and we march to the Father's land. I say we take spot and we take it up top and the key fits in the lock. You come with me on this lifting walk and you know you never come back. Because on top the cage is the harmony that bars and chains never chime. Wherever we go, it's not far from me, better be friend. All that time on top, top, top of the cage, top the cage. On top, top of the cage, top the cage. On top the cage, standing on top of the cage.
Though with Jake Tapper in Boston. And Jake, what more have you learned about what Jahar has been telling investigators? I know there's been several preliminary interviews, and you've been getting sort of the nuts and bolts and details of exactly how they've been communicating and what he said.
That's right, Aaron. Well, a U.S. government official has relayed to me some of the news from Jahar Tsarnaev in his discussions with investigators. And we learned last night that he was talking about how there were no foreign terrorist organizations involved. His brother was the driving force, and that their general motivation was jihadist in nature, considering themselves to be under attack as Muslims and trying to fight back. That is what Jahar has been telling investigators. So I want to make sure everyone understands this is just what he is saying. We are not saying anyone believes him. But this is what he is telling investigators. In addition, we found out some more details. One of them is that the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are part of the motivating factors, part of this jihadist mindset, believing themselves to be under attack. In addition, Aaron, we also found out that according to Jahar, again, take it with a grain of salt, he and his brother were self-radicalized. They were radicalized by watching videos on the internet.
I stood on top of this cage one night, all night long. From here the view was proud. I could see all these beautiful clouds. So I told people, come out of your cage. Time to break, locked forever. Join together, march on top, hold my hand. Say goodbye to never. You can be my man if you want to hang out here. Or just me, my girl, on top of this world. And we sit here and we stare at the clouds, green hills and the mountain tops and the river to the side. Well, you can come too if you want. You don't have to hide. On top the cage, on top, top of the cage. Top the cage, on top, top of the cage. Top the cage, on top, top of the cage. Top the cage, on top, on top, on top the cage. On top, top of the cage. Top the cage, on top, top of the cage. Top the cage, on top, top of the cage. Top the cage.
President, I do want to get right to the news of this week.
Sure.
The terrorism in Boston.
Yeah.
Many people have wondered if it took you right back to 9/11 when you heard it.
Well, at first, I was deeply concerned that there might have been a organized plot. I don't know all the facts. I don't think we all know all the facts. But I was deeply concerned that this could have been... another organized, highly organized attack on the country. And it still may be. I don't know the facts. But I do know that it's really hard to protect the homeland.
Bravo FBI, bravo CIA, bravo, police state or state police, however you want to look at it. Thanks for doing it for us. Thanks for keeping us safe. We can believe that, right? If we want to. And you could probably find a lot of people to agree with you, and you could justify that all day long. Man, thank you so very much for keeping us safe, because nothing until last Monday has really happened. So great. I'm really proud. I'm happy. I mean, there's a reality about terrorism. The only entity that benefits from terrorism is government. That's it. It's the only entity. Now, Al-Qaeda did not benefit from September 11th. Whatever, folks. All the other, terror plots that have been disrupted and all the other terrorism that's happened throughout the world have not benefited anyone who are the supposed perpetrators at all. It only benefits government, because government ends up with more power and authority over you and everyone else that it has under its... It's the whole... Here we are. The social contract has changed dramatically. I would like an opportunity to either rescind or re-sign the social contract. Maybe I'll find a cabin somewhere out there in the woods and move the family to the cabin. And I'm not sure if it'll be like Thoreau or Kaczynski.
UW's Center for Human Rights and Justice is asking for volunteer teams to act as peacekeepers during the Workers' Rights March on May Day. Organizers will hold a training event tomorrow morning for the people who will lead those teams. Last year, the march through downtown Seattle turned violent and destructive. Seattle's own team of crime-fighting superheroes plans to be on the streets this May Day, even though Phoenix Jones is upset about a report that warns Seattle police against allowing superheroes to patrol the streets during protests.
So being a hero on accident is okay, but when you go out to be a hero on purpose, you're bad. That doesn't make any sense.
Jones and other caped crusaders confronted anarchists who tried to storm the old federal courthouse downtown during last year's riots. He says this year his group will hold down anyone committing a crime and wait for police to come. Seattle police tweeted today that they won't restrict Seattle's Justice League crime fighters unless they break the law.
Amazing how we all want this life a little more every day. It's crazy. Just to let us down anyway. The one thing that you're missing is lounging on the log right next to you. So pick up that precious something and relax for a delicate view. Oh, whoa, oh, whoa.
Dramatic rescue as a quick-thinking police officer catches a man by his shirt as he attempts to jump in front of an oncoming train. The officer's heroic act was caught on CCTV in Colombia, with the man seen standing on the platform looking uneasy as he waits for the approaching train. Seeing something is wrong, he then grabs the man by the shirt and pulls him safely back onto the platform.
A Brazilian man has shot himself in the head with a harpoon by mistake.
While cleaning his spear gun, Bruno Coutinho accidentally triggered it and sent the 6-inch object through his eye before it lodged in his cranium. Despite the pain, Bruno managed to call for help. His neighbour says it was terrifying.
Gente que viu ficou apavorado, foi muito uma coisa assim, ai, só vem filme.
Bruno was rushed to hospital, where it took surgeons 4 hours to remove the spear. The object had been stuck in his head for more than 10 hours. Amazingly, the damage caused was limited.
O artefato parece que escolheu o caminho aonde passou, não lesou nenhuma estrutura nobre, não lesou nenhuma estrutura vascular e a sua retirada.
Doctors say the object came within millimeters of piercing major arteries, with an outcome that could have been tragic. However, Bruno has suffered no brain damage, but has lost the sight in his left eye. He's being treated in intensive care, but is due to be released in the coming days, counting himself lucky to be alive to tell a remarkable story of survival.
Shopkeeper in London's been hailed a hero after fighting off an armed robber with a wooden stool. CCTV captured this man fending off an attempted theft after a robber entered his shop and fired 2 warning shots into the air. The gunman, Sheldon Green, was jailed last week after admitting 9 similar robbery and firearms charges. He said he raided stores to pay off debts to local drug gangs. The have-a-go hero and father of 2 said, "I didn't want to give him the money, so I picked up the stool and hit him with it."
Rising up early, that sun rose. Barely before me, I could have sworn I'd just lay my head to bed. I've got 2, but it was cold. I've got trouble keeping hold of my lady sleeping next to me, but I swear today I'm gonna go off in a delicate way and I'll so much fun, I swear. No matter what goes wrong, I'll be moving on. I promise you, Jack in my mouth, out of my head, and I was off again, she said. Relax for a delicate few, just me and you. I swear to you, true.
From the Department of Health and Human Services urges Americans to do something, anything at all. According to the study, getting off your ass and doing any sort of physical or mental activity could have positive health effects.
Look, we're not expecting you to go to the gym. That's clearly not happening. Just walk outside for a few blocks and then come back home. You can bring potato chips if that's what it'll take. And if going outside is too hard, how about just walking to the window and looking outside?
For many years, the health department has encouraged Americans to watch less TV, but this report reverses that, saying, quote, watch whatever the hell you want, but at least pay attention and remember who the characters are, or just admire the colors. Colors are pretty. It's expected that following the advice in this report will cut down on the largest cause of death among Americans, laying on your back until your mouth fills up with saliva and you drown. Following the report's release, the most popular exercise now seems to be masturbating, but researchers warn that if you do it in public, stick to the sidewalk or you might get hit by cars.
It's 3 a.m. and I wanna go to bed. I got a lady running through my head. Ran out of money, looking for the night shift. It's 3 a.m. and I want to go to bed. I know a lady way down in my country. She was so pretty that my eyes threw disguises at me. Now we will sit and we'll wonder about our future. But now I'm thinking that today sounds fine to me. Well, I've been working 5 days full time. Ain't got no money, but everything is going fine. Well, I've been tired in my head. Well, I've been tired in my head. It's 3 a.m. and I wanna go to bed. I got a lady running through my head. Run out of money, looking for a night shift. It's 3 a.m. and I want to go to bed. I know a lady whose eyes fly right through me. She will sit and stare directly at me, and that laugh will take me to my future. Throughout my past, there is nothing left for me. Well, I've been working 5 days full time. Ain't got no money, but everything is going fine. Well, I've been tired in my head. Said I've been tired in my head. It's 3 a.m. and I wanna go to bed. I got a lady running through my head. Ran out of money, looking for a night shift. It's 3 a.m. and I want to go to bed. I feel my lady late night. She comes to me, invades my mind, reminds me of where we should be. So we just sit and we dream about our future. Throughout my past, there is nothing left for me. But I've been thinking 5 days full time. Ain't got no money, but everything is going fine. But I've been tired in my head. Well, I'm tired in my head. It's 3 a.m. and I wanna go to bed. I got a lady running through my head. Ran out of money, looking for a night shift. It's 3 a.m. and I want to go to bed. My lady won't leave my head. I just want to rest my head to bed. She won't let me go. I don't wanna go.
We sure are in a weird place in this country, aren't we? A weird, weird place.
The place from whence I write is wrong. If your third eye is closed, and the blind suppose that I'm evil because the people can't see the furthest from smoking trees. And I hope their needs are met as I step up my writing, but still deal with the walking dead. After all, communication ain't what I thought you heard. Communication's what you thought I said. So where your mind at now? From the time I sat down, you should have known that I was zoning. Homie, I only came to speak truth to power. And my motto is ignore these cowards. I mean, why should I stand up until he man up? Because if I stand up for no reason, I guarantee you it's going to be studio thug hunting season. I place that on everything I believe in. I only want to be understood. And I write like what's hood, but who's the most ghetto is not the point. The point is my integrity, and if I'm profound, why should I dumb it down? Let the A&R give them the runaround. I only came to walk 180. I do this for the art, not to drop Mercedes. I write it for the same reason Coltrane did it. To cipher in a graveyard with a 40-inch cigar and a cat in a gray wave cap be like, yo, Black came with it. And I put out my cigar, put a little drink on the grave. Tell them brothers I call you God, cause calling you nigga be like calling you slave. And you have to understand your concept of God is deeper than that slave master's. I mean, how he gonna have a bastard and put him out on a plantation and call him his property? See, we bigger than this poverty. We can make a project staircase seem more beautiful than any room in the mayor's place. Ask anyone. We even majestic when we walk down the street. Our feet pivot hip-hop beats deep into the pavement. And still wink like, shorty, how your day went? They try to give us short, so all day long we stay bent. I mean, why be broke when you can make sense and pay rent? If you could write like this, your life might switch. But let me slow down. Tell Doodle Burnett Tombstone to throw me another 40 while I sit down at the foot of this tree, relax and relight my shit. This is far above inconvenient truths. The fact is, I'm not afraid to die. And because so many people are afraid to live, that might be the reason why they just getting by. But me, I embrace my demons and I bring them everywhere I go. And we check into motels and get faded and fight and fuck. But I rarely introduce them to anyone I know, because I know that the smell of burning leaves is not provocative. Besides, who wants to see giant brown trees covered in thorny vines that climb like ivy, half visible beyond blue fog, totally masking the image of a man on his knees, screaming, it is me, God, please take me now, because I'm surrounded by people who believe that my words can make them happy, when I don't know a damn thing about joy. But if you ever wish for the pretense to convince this world that your every breath isn't hemorrhaging yearning, then whenever you see me, ask me how.
Now, go find the others.com.
Wait, I... Ding, 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 ding. Uh-oh, looks like we're out of time. Goodbye.